The reading that I share with you today comes from the sacred text from Hebrew Scripture. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 3 and 7 and 8, from the Tree of Life version. The Ruach of Adonai Elohim is on me, because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Abba has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in the Holy Land, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of Adonai, that God may be glorified. For I, the Eternal One, love justice. I hate stealing and all manner of wrongdoing. In faithfulness to those who do justice, I promise that they will be rewarded for their work. And I will establish an everlasting covenant with them. My prayer is that we can allow the words of sacred tradition to guide our mind and heart and soul. So with that, friends, I also want to say thank you for allowing me to be with you in community today and to share what's been on my heart in 15 minutes or less. I bring greetings from Metropolitan Community Church. That's what MCC stands for, United Church of Christ in the Valley. We're located physically in North Hollywood, but literally have a ministry around the world by default. We didn't organize that. We just happened to. I also need to share, I shared with Ingrid when I came in, my deep love for the Unitarian Universalist Church. I say that because Metropolitan Community Church was started in 1969 by a Pentecostal preacher, defrocked, of course, gay man. I say of course because he was outed at 26 years old, and well, that didn't quite work too well with his church of origin. And so it is that he set out, moved to L.A. from Florida. People are still leaving Florida to go to find a place to L.A. where was one of the meccas where he could be who he was. And in the years after he got here, he journeyed into despair, actually, because for him, he had been told by his church of origin that God did not love him anymore. And as he lay there after in the tub after he tried to end things, he realized that, yeah, it's not time to check out yet. Reason why is because, you know what, there are no stepchildren to the divine, right? His vernacular to God. And so it was that he felt called, being raised Pentecostal, he felt he could hear the Spirit. Spirit spoke to him and said, Troy, Reverend Troy D. Perry, he's still alive. He lives in Los Angeles with his partner of many, many years. He said, Troy, it's time for you to go out and start a church where my LGBT children can find a place. And so he did. Well, in the beginning, as they say, many of our MCCs, where do you start? Let's just say the Catholic Church wasn't opening their doors. Episcopals weren't opening their doors. But you know who did? The Unitarians. I started attending MCC 35, 40, almost 40 years ago. And when I did, it was in Stockton, California, and it was in a Unitarian church. Because y'all were the ones who realized everybody is connected to the divine. And so I share a deep, heartfelt gratitude. Just an honor to be with you today to share a message. And the message that I, the title of it is For Such a Time as This, that comes from scripture from the book of Esther. Even though the scripture I used was from the book of Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, but I say it for such a time as this because for such a time as this, people of faith are needed. In a world where, you know, you can't help it, you turn on your computer, turn on your TV, and all you see is the twistedness of spirituality and in specific Christianity, known as Christian nationalism. I saw something recently that it said, do not call it Christian nationalism because it is not Christian. Call it religious extremism for what it is. Amen? And I'm just going to tell you, I use amen a lot. That's probably, even though I was raised Catholic, being brought up, you know, in formation at MCC from, that Pentecostal man. It comes out sometimes. So, you know, in a world where extremism has just perverted every single major religion right now, right? We are in a world where, and in this country, where there's been a weaponization of a faith, Christianity, that preaches love, compassion, and justice. I personally don't recognize it. And I realized something. I realized that, you know, so many people have left churches. Many have come to the Unitarians because you guys actually have a level head and a big heart, right? But mainline churches and faith communities, especially Christian faith communities, are dwindling at an exponential rate. And I do not think that it is because of the message of the central figure, Jesus of Nazareth. I believe it has been because of the twisting and the just the weirdness that has come out of using it as a weapon. And in that, as I look around, I see people are starving. And starving for a spiritual message that says, come home. Come home, come home to a place that you can find compassion and healing and hope and love and justice, the things that are in the values and principles of this very church. Right? And that faith communities that can remember that our source is rooted in the divine, whether that be Mother Earth or Father Sky, whether it's Abba, whether it's Allah, whether it's Yahweh, whether it is Goddess or God, or no name at all. People are starving to hear your message. For me, as I said, being raised Catholic, being pretty much Protestant Christian, I describe myself, I heard this recently, I have called myself a progressive Christian, and then somebody, Diana Butler Bass, I don't know if any of you have read her stuff or have heard of her, she has coined a phrase, and I loved this, the Great Commandment Christian. Honey, you can be conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter. Great commandment in the Christian faith, to love the divine with all your heart and mind and soul and love your neighbor as yourself. I can get with that. I can get with that. I have Black Pentecostal preacher, bishop friends of mine who are much more conservative theologically, but you know what? They believe in the Great Commandment. And we might be like very opposite in lots of different ways, but one thing we're unified on is to love the divine with all our heart and mind, our soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's simple. I also believe that as people of faith that we are called to live out justice, to live out compassion. And in a world where, you know, many feel, as do I, that justice is like meted out in weird ways. You know, the people who should get it don't get it, and the people who shouldn't get it get it. It just, I don't get it. I feel that justice is, it's like shifting sands, right? Right? It's shifting sands. But I also, and I believe that justice is not about vengeance. Hear me. I don't believe that justice is about vengeance. And I see that living itself out everywhere. Right? It is not about vengeance. Justice, in my mind, is about reconciliation. Reconciliation and healing of relationship. And bringing a balance back. Bringing a balance back in all areas of life. It's about compassion and love and equity, healing and wholeness. Justice for me is about making amends. It's about owning my stuff and holding you accountable as well as holding myself accountable. It's about righting the ship, if you will. That to me is what justice is about. And yet, in a world that glorifies and celebrates and even rewards violence at every turn, where groups applaud the dehumanization of the other, where it is beyond imperative that we delve deeply into the well of our faiths, what I shared in the meditation of delving deeply into that well of love and compassion, your source. What is your source? What is your source? To delve deeply into that, to drink of that, and to share it. And while political dissidents can be tortured, poisoned, or killed as the world watches, where this recently we learned in a world where a 16-year-old in Oklahoma, a Choctaw non-binary teen, can receive what they did at the hands of their peers. We're in a world where the oppressed becomes the oppressors, where tens of thousands of people are starving or being slaughtered in the Holy Land, and where hundreds are still being hostage. Justice seems like a dream that we can't bring to reality. In a world where those experiencing homelessness are literally dying on our streets. In a world where food scarcity is as high as it is. It shouldn't be. And I could go on with the list, but you know, if I do, it would not be an uplifting time. It would be rather depressing, and you would say, why did you invite her to come and talk to us? But I share that because I don't really need to, because we know that. We know that's the reality of a world we live in. But I believe that as people of faith, if we go to the reading for me, as I go to the reading that I shared with you, that reading is recognized by those of the Jewish and Christian faith. And it was a passage that Jesus of Nazareth started his public ministry with. For it was the first sermon he gave, if you will. He went into a temple, he asked for the scroll, he opened it, and he read the scripture that I shared today. It is what I would call his mission statement. And for those of my faith tradition, I would hope that it is our mission statement, and it's a mission statement that's pretty universal. To bring hope to the poor in heart, the poor in finance, the poor of those who feel as if they are hopeless, bringing hope to those who are without hope. To be able to bind up the brokenhearted, to be that person, share with Ingrid and with others who have lost people in their family. And that breaks our heart. And it breaks our heart when we see the injustices in the world. But maybe together we can hold one another and help to mend and bind our hearts again, to knit them back together. to proclaim liberty to the captives, freeing people from the prisons that we have put ourselves in, or what the prisons that others have put ourselves in. The prisons we put others in when we stereotype them. I'm going to be honest, I have some stereotypes of Christian nationalists, and I know I got to go to God in prayer with that one. Because God tells me I have to love my neighbor, I don't have to like him. But I must see the divine in their heart as I ask them to see the divine in mine. Amen. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and so many of us find ourselves in prisons of loneliness, prisons of addiction, prisons of grief. That's why we have community, so we can hold each other up and free ourselves. To comfort all who mourn and to console those who mourn. Right now, that means literally Palestinians, Israelis, Muslims, Christians, and Jews when it refers to the Holy Land. And lastly, to give them beauty for ashes, oil for joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I look at that as living a life of gratitude no matter what is happening in our lives. And that's a hard thing to do. But I believe as people of faith tapping into our wells, this beautiful ritual of putting your joys and sorrows into this bowl of water that will continue to grow, to give strength, right? To allow the waters to wash the pain away and to allow yourselves to drink fully from the cup of wisdom. If we can hold on to these things and remember these things, the world doesn't seem quite as hopeless. And maybe, just maybe, we can find ourselves being the hands and the feet and the heart of the divine in this world. Because the only way that we, I believe, will get out of the situation that we are in, it might be, you said it was read in one of your meditations, that it is a long arc towards justice, but we cannot wait till the end to do the work. It is now that we do the work so we can start bending towards that justice. And if that doesn't happen tomorrow, and if it doesn't happen in a year, if it doesn't happen in 4 years, I absolutely guarantee you it will. And in the meantime, we need one another. And we need that well of our faith. Amen. So I leave you with this as we go into our world and contemplate, what can I do? How can I be in this world that has so much craziness going on? I want you to remember that you are a child of the divine, a child of the universe, a child of the cosmos. Whatever it is that is essential to you and your faith, you are the child of holiness and sacredness and love. And so is the person who annoys you, even if they don't know it yet. Everyone is a child of the divine. We are to continue to grow into who we were called and created to be. And we are called to live a golden rule, not necessarily the one we might have learned, but to do this. Don't withhold from another. Don't withhold from another that which you want and need. You want food? Give it. You already did. You're witness and hands of justice in that. You want shelter? Find a way to not be a NIMBY, but be a YIMBY. Right? You want respect? Give it. Because we're called into sacred relationship. That's justice and equity. The first shall be last, and the last will be first. It's not about a role reversal where the oppressors will be oppressed. It is, however, that there will not be a first nor a last, because there shall be equity amongst all. Right? There shall not be a first nor, alas, it will not be oppressor turning into the oppressed, but it'll be an opportunity for us to create a world where we're all on equal footing. There are no winners or losers. There are only those of us who live a life of love. So go into the world this week and the weeks ahead and continue to live the values that brought you here today as community. Live them, breathe them, eat them, have them, and continue to do the acts of justice that you do. Whether it's writing postcards for the landfill, I went all over your website last night. I live within 3 miles of that landfill, and it's all true. Whether it's continuing to feed the hungry, whether it is to write your representatives, whether it's to march, to let the voice of justice be heard. Blessings. Amen.